Mark 10, beginning at verse 32. This is the word of God. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit, the one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not so be among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation, the gospel according to Mark is only 16 chapters long. And from chapter 1 to the beginning of chapter 10 covers 3 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And from 10 verse 32 to the end of 15, the final 10 days of his life. In chapter 16, then his resurrection and the Great Commission and his ascension. Now, in chapter 10, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the third and final time of his ministry. He's going to celebrate the Passover there. There are many Jews from all over on the roads leading to Jerusalem. It's the great yearly event, drawing large crowds to the holy city. And as they're coming to the holy city, they're singing the Psalms of Degrees as they come closer and closer to Jerusalem. And Jesus is traveling with his disciples. And on the way, they come to Jericho. And this is the only time that Jesus came to the city of Jericho, which was known in those days as the city of palm trees. It was a beautiful place. It was like a resort in Jesus' days. city still there, though its most of its beauty is not. But Jesus had to be there. He must needs go to Jericho that day, because there were two people in Jericho who had to meet Jesus Christ that day and who would be saved by him that very day. And one of those people who would be saved is not mentioned in the gospel according to Mark. But children, as soon as I tell you his name, you'll know. Zacchaeus. Mark doesn't talk about Zacchaeus, but Luke does. Luke does, about this Zacchaeus, that tax collector, that despised man, who was probably one of the richest men in Jericho. Remember, he was a very small man, very short. He couldn't see Jesus because of all the crowds all around him. So he climbed the tree. And when Jesus came to the tree, stopped and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, because I must go to your house today. And Zacchaeus came down, you remember, and received the Lord joyfully, and he was saved that day. He repented of his sins, believed on the Lord Jesus. He vows to give back fourfold everything that he had stolen, and he vows to give half of his goods to the poor. That sounds good on the outside, doesn't it? But it also reflected what was going on inside. Because Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 9, to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not only Zacchaeus, but also the man whom we meet in our text this afternoon. A blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. I want to look at that from Luke, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. If I read you just verse 49 for now, so we have some idea where we're going with this. Jesus stood still and commanded Zacchaeus to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. 46 to 52 is the text. The theme is blessed blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to see it under three headings. His blessed condition, first of all, and secondly, Jesus' blessed command, and then thirdly, the blessed conclusion. I know in your bulletin it says the blessed condition, and that was my fault for being too much in a hurry when I sent the information to the bulletin editor. I put their condition, and he dutifully put down what I gave him. But it should say conclusion, the blessed conclusion. So first then, Bartimaeus says blessed condition. And children, you might be thinking, well, if a person is blind, how can you call that blessed? That sounds more like a curse than a blessing. I hope that as we go through our text this afternoon, you will come to agree with me that Zacchaeus is indeed richly blessed. And I'm not talking about his physical eyes. Now they came to Jericho. As I said, Mark says nothing about Zacchaeus, only Luke does. Mark just says they came to Jericho and he went out of Jericho. Doesn't say anything about being in Jericho or going through Jericho or what they did there. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Jesus, as usual, has his disciples with him, and as usual, he draws a great large crowd. And it's not surprising, because at the time of Passover there would be many more travelers than usual, and in this case they also accompany the Lord Jesus, that rabbi who has come from Nazareth and who has become famous throughout all of Judea and who does all these miracles and who can heal people and who speaks such marvelous words. And maybe there are people in this crowd as Jesus is coming out of Jericho still talking about Zacchaeus. And Jesus going for dinner with Zacchaeus. And maybe they joined others in condemning Jesus and saying he went to be guest with the man who is a sinner. Luke 19, verse 7. Well, as Jesus leaves Jericho and goes out of the city gates onto the road, that would be really nothing more than a well-traveled dirt trail, dusty and dry and dangerous. He's just been in the home of one of the wealthiest men of Jericho, and he's about to meet one of the poorest people from Jericho. A person who in that society would be considered as somebody having a curse on him. Who is he? Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. So there was a man in Jericho whose name was Timaeus. And he and his wife had a little son, and they named him Son of Timaeus. That's what Bartimaeus means. The blind one. The person who can see nothing. His eyes didn't work at all. So he could go outside and he could feel the warmth of the sun, but he couldn't see its light. He could go out and hear the birds singing, but he couldn't see their lovely colors. He could smell all the beautiful flowers of Jericho's gardens, but he never saw their beauty. In his days, blind people couldn't travel. They couldn't work. They couldn't read. They were considered outcasts. And people would whisper behind their backs, "He must be a great sinner. Or his parents must have committed some awful sin for a child to be born blind." And most likely his family would not be trusted because of this curse. Bartimaeus, the blind man, every day went out to sit by the road. There he would sit. He would spread his coat in front of him on the road. And when somebody came by, he would hold out both his hands and say, "Alms for the poor, alms for the poor." And if people were generous, they would drop a coin or two into his hands. And if they missed his hands, at least it would fall into his garment and he could gather it all up later. That's how he earned a living, as a blind beggar, always dependent on others. But they had their good days too, you know. When it was a feast days like the Passover, those would be good days for those blind beggars because many people came and they were feeling generous and very religious, and they would give more freely, just like we do at Christmas time. And we just give a little more freely, and everybody comes asking, "Please donate to our worthy cause." And so these people too, Passover time, they would share more willingly. And Bartimaeus is sitting there that day and he hears that a large crowd is coming towards him. It must have been unusually loud or somehow different. There must have been something special because it wasn't what he was used to. Luke says in Luke 18 verse 36 in the parallel passage, "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And some of those standing close by told him, they told him, 'It is Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by.'" Notice that those people call him Jesus of Nazareth. Perhaps only to differentiate between others, people who had that same name. Jesus was a common name in those days, just like Joshua of the Old Testament, so Jesus here. And it can mean that they recognize him maybe as a rabbi, maybe as a good man, but they don't yet recognize him as the promised Messiah. Just say, Jesus of Nazareth, he's not that Jesus of that other town. But this is that Jesus of Nazareth. It's not really shocking that they wouldn't recognize him as anything more. Even his disciples many times didn't understand him all that well. Yes, Bartimaeus, a poor blind man, but he is a richly blessed man. Yes, he's blind. Yes, he's despised. Yes, he's a beggar, but he knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Bartimaeus has something in his heart that those other people didn't have. The Holy Spirit has put a spark of faith in the heart of Bartimaeus. Through the preaching at the synagogue, he had heard from the law and the prophets that Messiah shall come. And he has heard that Messiah shall save his people. And he believed that message. And that was his hope, that Messiah would come. And he has also heard of Jesus Christ. And he's made the connection that Jesus is the promised Messiah. That the Lord Jesus Christ is the servant of Jehovah, of whom Isaiah spoke. that he is the promised Son of David, that he is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace of Isaiah chapter 9. How do we know that he knew all that? Well, listen to his response and you will begin to understand his blessed condition. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When those other people tell him who it is that's passing by, Jesus of Nazareth, Bartimaeus begins to go into action. He does what every person of faith does. He begins to cry out. He can't remain silent. He can't be shy and timid. There's too great of a need in his life and in his heart. When he hears that Jesus passes by, he begins to cry out. And that's the same for sinners who know that Jesus is the Christ. When you hear that Jesus passes by, you begin to cry out. It says he began to cry out and to say. He shouted. He called out loudly, boldly, with a cry of desperation, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Calls him the name Jesus. Oh, how often that name had been called out already, and how often it is still called out today. But how many people shout the name of Jesus, remembering what that name means? Jehovah, salvation. He was called Jesus because he came to save his people from their sins. And Bartimaeus shouts it out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He not only calls him Jesus, but also Son of David. That's evidence of his faith, that he knows Jesus as the Son of David. Another precious name of the Savior, the Eternal King, the promised Messiah, is also the promised seed of King David. Not just Jesus of Nazareth, not just one rabbi among many rabbis. This is the one and only Jesus, the one and only Jesus, the Son of David. And the language of faith here of Bartimaeus acknowledges who Jesus Christ is and expresses his need for what Jesus Christ does. Have you cried out that way to Jesus, acknowledging who he is, Jesus, Son of David, and what he does by crying out what Bartimaeus does? "Have mercy on me." Have mercy on me. The verb of that root word mercy means to show kindness or concern for somebody who is in serious need and doesn't deserve it. Kindness and concern for somebody in serious need who doesn't deserve it. Same word is used in Matthew 18 when Jesus uses it to say, to have compassion on someone. "Have mercy on me" is the cry of a person who know they desperately need the mercy of the Lord. You hear it too in the man who's standing in the back of the temple. "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Bartimaeus begins to cry out and to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You think the people in that huge crowd around Jesus were happy with that? No, they weren't. They're not at all impressed with what Bartimaeus is doing. They're not happy at all that here is a sinner crying out to Jesus for mercy. He's just making a scene with his loud shouting of, "Jesus, have mercy on me." We don't want to hear that. We're having such a nice time going up to Jerusalem for Passover, and Jesus is here and he's famous and we're following him. Look what it says in verse 48. Many warned him to be quiet. They kept warning him, is the way it is in Greek. They kept warning him, be quiet. Hey, you blind man over there, be quiet. Stop your shouting. Be still. Many of them commanded him to hush up. Stop making all that noise. Hold your peace. Be silent. You think, children, that if they told him that, he would stop? That he would stop crying out to Jesus to have mercy on him? See, they didn't realize that you cannot silence the cry of faith. You can't silence that. Bartimaeus is shouting out loud, expressing his need for mercy, calling on the only one who can help him, Jesus, the Son of David. He just ignored them. And they said, be quiet, Bartimaeus. Stop your shouting. In fact, he did just the opposite. He kept on crying all the more, it says. Over and over, he kept shouting, Son of David, have mercy on me. The more they told him to be quiet, the more he shouted. And the more he cried. And the more he did that, the more his faith was active. The more his faith could not be stopped. That little spark began to smolder and to flicker. And it burst into flame. And it couldn't be put out. So he had to cry out. He had to cry out. The faith of Bartimaeus kept crying all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Over and over he shouted this. And that shows us Bartimaeus' blessed condition. A man with faith. Faith worked by the Holy Spirit. You hear it in his words. You hear it in what he knows of Jesus, in what he calls Jesus. Jesus, Son of David. Promised Messiah. Promised heir of David's throne. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That's the language of faith. And that will never be disappointed. Every sinner who has cried this out to Jesus, have mercy on me, no matter how many times you've cried it out, he has been merciful to you. Every time. Jesus does not ignore such calls. We hear that in his blessed command. Look at verse 49. So Jesus stood still. Make the connection to the prior verse. He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Precious gospel words. The others commanded Bartimaeus to hush up, but he kept crying all the more. So Jesus stood still. He stood still for this man. He stands still for Bartimaeus. He stops to serve. And I remind you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he still, as it were, stands still when sinners cry out to him today. Even as he did for Bartimaeus, even as he's on his way to the cross, Jesus stands still when Bartimaeus cries, have mercy on me. Are there people crying this afternoon to Jesus? Have mercy on me. Even children, you may cry too to Jesus. Have mercy on me. And you know when you do that, what happens? Jesus stops whatever he's doing. He stands still. Are you crying all the more? Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus hears that. He hears your voice and he stops and he stands still and commanded him to be called. What a blessed command. He tells that crowd, call him. Call Bartimaeus. That's the same command that comes to every believer, to every office bearer. Do Jesus says to us, call him, whoever it is that's crying out to him. So we call sinners to come to Christ Jesus. These people obey Jesus. They call the blind man, saying to him, again there he's called the blind man. Over and over he's called the blind man. But see now how they address Bartimaeus. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He is calling you. Be of good cheer. You who are crying out to Jesus for mercy, he is calling you. Not only are you calling out to him, but he is calling you. What gospel, isn't it? He is calling. Who is calling? Jesus is calling. And who is he calling? You, Bartimaeus, the blind one. You who are crying out to Jesus, have mercy on me. He's calling you to come to him. That's happening right now too. Because there are blind Bartimaeuses here this afternoon. And some have been crying to Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus has heard your cry and he stands still and he's calling you. He's saying, come to me. Come to me, you blind Bartimaeus. And how will you respond to Jesus' command? Which is like a loving invitation. Come to me. He's calling you. What does Bartimaeus do? Throwing away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Remember what's on that garment? There's all the coins that people had been given him. He throws it away and he comes to Jesus. He stands up. As a blind man, he begins to walk towards Jesus' voice, and maybe someone had to take him by the elbow, like you've seen us do with blind people, and direct him to Jesus. But here we connect it again. He is calling you. He rose and came to Jesus. And that's what every sinner who has cried out to Jesus for mercy and who has heard Jesus say, come to me, has done. He rose and came to Jesus. Having cast away his garment, having stood up, he came. He'd heard it so clearly. Jesus is calling you. And this afternoon you hear it so clearly too. Jesus Christ is calling you. What a blessed command from the lips of Jesus. Call him. And Bartimaeus, in obedience, comes to Jesus. And it's a good thing he did. Because Jesus never returned to Jericho. This was the only time he was ever there. That's a picture of sinners today too, isn't it? When you recognize your blindness for spiritual matters. You don't see clearly yet what sin is and what sin does and who God is and what he thinks of sin and how Jesus fits into this picture. That you must say with John Newton, all I know is that I am a great sinner and I need a great Savior. And you begin to cry out then, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Even if there's others of your friends perhaps whispering to you, don't take it so seriously. Wait till you're older. Even if others try to tell you, what are you worried about? You're saved. All is well with you. Yet deep down inside you know it's not. Even when others tell you to be quiet, you cry out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stands still and commands you to be called. And so we call blind sinners unto Jesus. And we say to them, cheer up. Stand up. He's calling you. Oh, then do like Bartimaeus. It's now or never. Today, the Bible says, is the day of grace. This is the day of salvation. What is it that's keeping you away from the Lord Jesus? And I'm not only talking about people who've never come to him, but people who have come to him and who need to come back to him. What is it that's keeping you away from Jesus? What's hindering you? What is the outer garment that Bartimaeus had to throw aside? What do you need to cast away so you can come to Jesus? Is it your fear of man? What other people will think of you? Is it maybe your need to be in control of everything? Is it perhaps some ungodly friends? Maybe your strong attraction to the entertainments of this world, or your strong aversion to the commandments of the Lord? Cast away whatever is hindering you from coming to Christ Jesus. Just drop it. Leave it behind. Stand up and come to Jesus. When you do, then it can be said of you too, Jesus called you, and you came to Jesus by faith. That will never disappoint you. He will never turn you away. He hears your cry, have mercy on me, and he delights in mercy. His mercy is abundant. His grace is abundant. His salvation is abundant. That brings us to a blessed conclusion. Verse 51. Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I don't know if you noticed it, but it says the same thing in verse 36, where Jesus says it to James and John, "What do you want me to do for you?" So we hear that same question in our reading twice this afternoon. It's as if Jesus presses that question on you and me even right now, saying to us, "What do you want me to do to you, or to do for you?" And this is a question from Jesus himself, from the servant of Jehovah. Blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you? The Lord Jesus knows exactly, doesn't he, what Bartimaeus wants to do for him? Doesn't Jesus know everything? He knows already. Then why would he ask him then? Well, he wants Bartimaeus to spell it out for him. He wants Bartimaeus to express it in his own words, exactly what he wants from Jesus. Remember, Bartimaeus has already been crying, "Have mercy on me." But he hasn't been specific, has he? That's a very general kind of prayer. Jesus tells Bartimaeus, "Now tell me in detail, what do you want me to do for you? What exactly is it that you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus knows exactly what it is. He doesn't hesitate a moment. The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." And Rabboni means my teacher. It's a title of honor for a Jewish rabbi like Jesus was. And it implies an important personal relationship with that teacher. And notice how Bartimaeus has addressed the Lord Jesus here in our text. First as Jesus, then as Son of David, the promised King, and now my teacher. What a blessed relationship he has with Jesus. Not only to know that he needs him as a Savior and as his King, but also as a personal teacher, teaching him with his word through his Holy Spirit. The blind man said, "My teacher, I have one request for you." Again, it says the blind man. Every time, the blind man, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." That's the one thing I need, O Jesus. Do that for me. Give me my eyesight. And Bartimaeus doesn't realize how desperate his case is. Really, it's now or never for him. This is the only opportunity he has, because if you read your Bible carefully, you will notice that Jesus is about to perform his final miracle healing. This is the last one. After this, no more healings. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way." He doesn't say, "Go away." Go your way. He's not telling him, "Get away from me, Bartimaeus," or "You can be on your way now." Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Why would he say something like that? Your faith has made you well? Is Jesus saying that faith heals people? No, that's not what he's saying. But he is saying that he heals people through faith, and that faith is the instrument through which he heals. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. And to prove it says immediately he received his sight. That very moment Bartimaeus receives his sight, he can see everything clearly. It's not a gradual healing like you read of the blind man in chapter 8. Remember that man who saw people like that, but they looked like sticks that were walking? Here, immediately, he could see. And he followed Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus began to follow Jesus there physically on the road to Jerusalem. But there's more to it than that. Otherwise, like so many others, we would say, well, he's just following him for his miracles. That's all he's interested in. But Jesus has said to him, your faith has made you well. And that can also be translated, your faith has saved you. Or through your faith, I have saved you. It wasn't just physical healing that took place that day. We already know that Bartimaeus has faith as a gift from the Holy Spirit worked in his heart. Even by the way he addresses Jesus. Maybe he didn't recognize it as faith, but it was there. And now Jesus says, your faith has saved you. How are we to understand that? Well, the way Paul explains it in Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So when it says here, your faith has saved you, that's what Jesus is saying. By grace you are saved through faith as the gift of God. That explains what we read in Luke 18, verse 43. That's the parallel passage to this, which adds just a little bit more. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Glorifying God. Bartimaeus is praising God as he follows Jesus as one of his disciples now. He followed Jesus. He spoke well of Jesus as his Savior, his King, his teacher. And that's what happens when the Lord opens blind eyes of sinners today too. And that will happen in the year 2016 too. When the Lord opens our blind eyes, we will begin to glorify God, praising God for his salvation in Christ Jesus the Lord. And so this afternoon, in this congregation, there are people too who are crying out to the Lord Jesus. Some perhaps for the very first time in your life ever. And others maybe for the millionth time that you're crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Maybe using different words, but meaning the same as Bartimaeus. And as you are calling on the name of the Lord Jesus for mercy, according to this text, he is calling you. And he's saying, come to me and tell me what you want me to do for you. Twice in this chapter, the same question. What do you want me to do for you? Do you have an answer to that question? When Jesus asks you that question, what do you want me to do for you? And it's not like the question, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want me to do for you? It was a little girl, and every year in her birthday, she would pray. It was as Jesus had asked, what do you want for your birthday? And she would pray, I want a heart that loves the Lord. Children, is that what you want to? A heart that loves the Lord. You're not the only one. God's people want that so desperately too. Because so often our love for the Lord waxes cold. And we still pray the same thing. We haven't advanced all that far unless you become like little children, praying for a heart that loves the Lord. If you're here this afternoon and you are still a stranger to grace, a stranger to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're in a desperate situation, my friend. Because in our text, Jesus never returned to Jericho. He never came back there after this. He may never return to FRC Vineland either. Or any other church for that matter. In fact, the world can end today. Or you may die before the day is out. You might not even make it home today. That's how desperate your situation is. And you need to honestly reply to Jesus' question, what do you want me to do for you? Some people are at a total loss when Jesus asks that. You really wouldn't know what you want Jesus to do for you. Oh, then sinner, you need to repent of your wicked unbelief. Fall on your knees before Almighty God and cry out for mercy. And as Jesus now, as this is all fresh right now, as Jesus is calling you and asking you, what do you want me to do for you? Then just repeat what Bartimaeus says. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, open my blind eyes. Open my blind eyes that I may see you and follow you in the way. Open my blind eyes that I may see all things clearly and follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.